Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A conversation with a Pitt Athletics Hall of Famer. He's also now a Pro Football Hall of Famer, part of the class of 2020. One of the best offensive linemen in Pitt history, one of the best in NFL history. And we're really excited to talk to him today. Jimbo Covert is with us here on 93.7 The Fan. Jimbo, Andrew Filippone and Chris Muller in Pittsburgh. How are you today?
I'm doing good, fellas. How are you doing?
We're great, and the Steelers are even better. They're 9-0. They're looking to go 10-0 in Jacksonville on Sunday. And I thought to myself, well, there isn't anybody in this town who knows what it's like to be 10-0 from a Steelers standpoint, because this is the first time they've ever been 9-0. But you know the feeling because you were on the 85 Bears. So I'm interested, right, once you get to this point, when you're getting to the 9-0, 10-0, 11-0 numbers, what is it like? Take us inside that kind of NFL locker room, Jimbo.
Well, I think once you get on a roll and you just feel like you can't lose, and, you know, you're going to do something, someone's going to make a play, make a throw, you know, cause a fumble, someone's going to make a play, and you're always going to be, you know, have an opportunity to win even when you get behind. And that happened to us several times. In fact, we were, I think, first game of the year, we were playing Tampa Bay. I think it was 28-7 at halftime. We were behind.
Wow.
That was the first game of the year, so we came back and won that game and came back in the second game and actually came back against Minnesota too. So, you know, I think, you know, once you get a feeling like that, that you can win, regardless of, you know, what's happened in the game or at any time, then you get a lot of confidence. And that's really what happened with us that year.
Jimbo, how much did guys, until that Miami game happened and you're getting to 10-0, 11-0, then 12-0, how much was the undefeated record like at all a talking out loud point in the locker room, something that guys referenced? Was that the case, or did people just sort of avoid it and talk like there's, you know, there's a no hitter going on in baseball,
yeah,
and nobody says anything about it? How was that handled inside your room?
I think it's exactly like that. You kind of ignored those types of things because you wanted to make sure you were focusing on, you know, as they say, one game at a time. I know it's a cliche, but you have to really game plan like that and focus on that, even though that might be in the back of your mind. So, you know, that's what we did. And you know, the three games before we played Miami, you know, Steve Fuller was quarterbacking, McMahon was out. And I think the combined scores for those three games were like 110-0. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we were on a roll, and we just didn't feel like we could get beat. And then we went down to Miami, and, you know, it just wasn't our night. But I always tell people that's the best thing that ever happened to us.
Wow.
Yeah, we just felt like we were so much better than, I mean, when we went down there, we actually thought we were just going to kick the hell out of Miami. I mean, we didn't. You know, we were just glad to get out of the cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have an indoor facility. You know, we're practicing outside. It was nice to go down and be in the warm weather, and it just wasn't our night. And they had, they had Dan Marino and Don Shula and a great football team, and they beat us. But you know what? It's the best thing that ever happened to us because it's, hey, this isn't going to be easy. You know, we're going to have to,
yeah,
do this and take it back on. And I think it refocused us for the rest of the year, and then we ran the table.
Jimbo Covert, our guest here on The Fan. I'm so interested in hearing you say that, because there now is this this debate among Steelers fans. We were just talking about it before he brought you on. There are a lot of fans who think, you know what, 15-1 would be better than 16-0, because you'd get humbled, you'd be able to focus on things, you wouldn't have this feeling of invincibility like you were better than everybody else. And it sounds like you're saying to me, Jimbo, that who knows what happens to the 85 Bears if you don't lose that game to the Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, how would you like to go 16-0 and lay an egg in the first round of the playoffs? right? I mean, you wouldn't feel too good about yourself, right? So I think it really just helped us focus. And then, like I said, you know, our quarterback came back, got healthy, and we just ran the table because I think it just repositioned everybody to know that, like I said, this isn't going to be easy. We're going to have to work at this. And then we did, and I think that helped us.
So, Jimbo, like when Mike Tomlin talks about how there's still a lot of things to work on for the Steelers, and I know we're about to ask you one of them here in a minute, but that he's happy to work on those things with no losses in that column, you know, zero in the loss column, it can't quite focus guys like actually seeing, you know, like actually getting beat can. Being flawed in victory can't quite have the same effect, then you're saying?
No. I don't think that's at all. I mean, if they can keep winning and go undefeated and win the Super Bowl, I think that's fantastic. But going undefeated is in the regular season is meaningless.
Yeah.
I mean, the Patriots did it as well. I mean, okay. So then you lose in the Super Bowl? I mean, no one remembers who loses in the Super Bowl. They only remember the Super Bowl winners. And they really don't care that the Patriots went 16-0. But they remember that, you know, they lost the Super Bowl that year. So, you know, focusing on wins is great, and focusing on making people confident is, you know, I think phenomenal. But at the end of the day, it matters who wins on Super Bowl Sunday, and that's what it's all about.
Jimbo Covert, our guest. I remember the teams that lost because I just got a weird brain for that kind of stuff, Jimbo. I can't remember what my wife told me this morning before I left the house, but I could tell you about, you know, the 85 Patriots. So I'm kind of wired in a weird way like that, but maybe that's just me. We're talking to Jimbo Cover. I want to know, because this has been a big talking point for Steelers fans this week. This team is winning, but they haven't been able to run the ball at all. And Mike Tomlin, from the coach on down, run blocking has come up in the conversation. You are one of the great run blockers of all time. What is it about being a great run blocking offensive line, Jimbo? How do you do it? How does a line do it?
Well, I think the most important thing about a run-blocking offensive line is you got to have guys that play together for a number of years, because I think that's a really important thing. You know, I was very fortunate because I played with the same five guys for 6 years, you know, and so seven, I think, almost. And so, you know, we really knew what each other was doing, you know, especially on a lot of the combination blocks. We didn't have to talk too much because we already knew that. You know, the calls and all that kind of stuff. It's just a familiarity that you have with the guy playing next to you, Mark Bortz. I played next to for a long time, and I knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew exactly what I was going to do. So we didn't have to, it was nonverbal and really good. So I think that's the number one thing about, you know, playing offensive line is you got to play with a group of guys and you got to have some consistency there. I think that's number one. And I think number two is you just have to have a mindset you're going to run the football, right? I mean, you got to try to run the football. Because when you run the football, that just opens up everything. I mean, how do you run play action if you're not running the football? You know, I mean, how do you put in different formations that are running formations and pass out? So I just feel like running the football just opens up the entire offense, gives you some confidence, and you can do things. And then when you gotta, you know, win the game in the end and have time possession, make a couple first downs, you already have some confidence. You've been doing it throughout the game. You know you can do it again.
Jimbo, I think the most I have in common with, like, offensive linemen, or the closest I would get to knowing what it's like to be a lineman, is, like, going back to the buffet, feeling guilt-free about it because I've got to keep on the weight or something like that. But one thing we hear from people about line play is, and it's people who, like, you know, high school football people around these parts, people who said they played it, is that it's real tough to run block, to get in that mentality, to get the leverage you need when you're in a two-point stance versus a three-point stance. How legitimate of a thing to bring up is that, in your opinion?
You know, I kind of feel like that has some merit. But I feel like you can put yourself in some positions with down and distance where you can do that and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. I feel like if you're in an obvious passing situation and you're in a two-point stance and you run the football, maybe a draw or something like that, yeah, you can do that. But on second down and four or five and something like that, and you're trying to run the football, I do believe there's a little bit of a disadvantage there.
Okay.
But I feel like you can get yourself in a position to block those and get those assignments down. I think the biggest thing now with running the football right now is most offensive lines in the NFL are all real zone blocking, parallel stepping, that kind of stuff. And, you know, they it's a run to the right, run to the left. You know, it's zone blocking. And then that running back just tries to find some softness and gets up there. I mean, they don't run it in the two hole or the four hole. They just don't do that like we used to. I just think it's a different way to run the football. I'm not a big fan of it because I don't think you see the movement like you used to do in the old days when you put your hat on someone and got them off the ball, made a crease and let your running back run up there. It's just, it's not the way they block now.
Jimbo Colbert, our guest here on the Fan. You watch James Conner at Pitt, Jimbo. What do you think is the best? Yeah. Like, how do you get the most out of him, in your opinion? What suits him best as a running back, in just your humble opinion?
Oh, he does a lot of good things. Well, I think he's a really good receiver, too. And I think he turns his shoulders and squares them and gets upfield. And he's a hard runner. I think he gets better as the game goes on. So I'd feed him the ball as much as you can. If he's getting positive yardage for you, you know, see what you can do. Just ride him until he can't do it anymore. And I think he's doing a tremendous job for that team right now.
Jimbo, one of the things with this running debate that we've brought up here, you know, picking your brain about it, is Ben Roethlisberger's playing at maybe the highest level he's ever played. At least that's what I would say from having watched his whole career. So I know it's a different kind of game offensively than it was when you were on that 85 Bears team. Would you even treat running the ball as a big priority if the quarterback is playing this well and they're winning games?
Absolutely. Because eventually one day that horse is not you're not going to be able to ride that horse, right? They're going to figure out a way to defense that. They're going to figure out something. Of course, you know, Ben's one of the greatest ever to play, but eventually it's going to run out. Right, because they're going to figure out a way to box it defensively, do things differently with coverages and disguise them better, even though he's really good at, you know, figuring that stuff out. But running the football just opens up so many different things, and it just allows you to wear defense down, get time of possession, keep your defense off the field. All the good things about running an offense comes from running the football. And I just feel like, you know, we led the league in rushing 4 years in a row.
Wow.
During my career. We finished second twice and third once.
Damn.
Now, of course, we had, you know, the greatest running back that ever lived in Walter Payton. But we also had Neil Anderson after that and other guys. And we still were in the top three in rushing. So it's a mindset, and I think you just have to take it on and just get better at it every day and show you can run the football because it just makes your offense so much better.
Hey, Jimbo, before we let you run, and thank you so much for being so gracious with your time. And again, congratulations on going into Canton this year. That's so cool and so well-deserved.
Thank you.
Yeah. What do you make of Pitt football? Are you still watching these days? What are your thoughts on what you've seen from the Panthers in 2020?
Yeah, of course I'm watching. I just feel like, you know, this whole 2020 debacle, you know, starting with COVID and everything like that, I just feel like, you know, Pitt was really in a good position with a more of a senior team, guys that played, you know, for a few years together. Kenny Pickett was playing at a high level, and then boom, right? No fans, no this, you know, abbreviated training camp, all the things that could go wrong went wrong. And I just feel like that's kind of what the story of Pitt football is, you know? I mean, they've had their ups and downs, but I just feel like if it was a normal year, this could have been one of the best years for Pitt football in a long time. And, you know, I'm just sad to see that it didn't turn out that way.
Jimbo, you're the best. Thank you so much. This was a delight to talk to you. Very informative as well and educational. So thank you.
Okay, guys. Great being with you.
There you go. Jimbo Covert.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.